can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
That's not scintillating content. Hi, Ice.
Hi.
Hi. There.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hi, Jack. Oh.
This is weird, by the way.
This is bizarre. If you guys can't tell, you know, we should have let the game play out as long as possible to see if anyone notices anything different about the show. Because I think we want this thing to sound.
I'm sure they'll figure it out pretty quick.
I'm sure. But I think our goal was to try to have this thing sound and feel like a regular episode. But as we found in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, nothing is the same. Everything has gone to hell. Up is down, left is right, cats living with dogs, full-blown pandemonium. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want your fucking, you don't mind. So why risk it, right?
Yeah, I don't want, there was a lot that I gathered from just a short phone conversation this afternoon that you and Jack are going through that I dare not dip my toe into. So I tip my hat to you boys, and better you than me.
Yeah, I always wonder how these medical facilities, like, how are they even operating? You know, you just, I mean, they're, you know, the people that work there are regular people. They're just like us. That's there. But day in and day out, we get the luxury of being at home in our place. You know, they tell us to quarantine for a reason. Just if you stay ass home, there's a likely chance that you'll be fine. But these people have no other option. They got to come in every day and work at these hospitals. And, you know, kudos to them, man. I have no idea how they do it. But, yeah, huge shout-outs to the folks in the front line doing what they're doing. That's huge.
They are the real heroes in all of this. We actually got friends, mutual friends, that are actually dealing with this on a much more personal and intimate level. And they will
scaring the crap out of my wife, though.
Precisely. Scare the hell out of me, too. But I found that it is for the purest of intents, and that is to keep us all safe, and also to get some of the evil out of them. I got a pretty long tongue lashing, not for anything I did specifically, but just like a lot of steam was getting vented from our friend who's intimately involved in this. She's going to like nursing homes, and she's having to wear masks, and they have to look at her funny and think that she's got the itis because, you know, she's from a certain land.
And she's Asian.
Yeah, exactly.
Big ma'am.
Oh God, it's an awful time to be Asian right now. Or just being outside, period. But that's why we're sheltering in place. And that's why we're doing the show the way we're doing right now over the magic of the internet. So we thank Skype for making this happen. And I think with that, we can go ahead and start the show. Live from Eddie's room from the Bad Slant Studios, and we're recording live from the Bad Slant Studios, I guess, in Fairfax, Virginia. It's the Bad Slant Podcast. You can check us out on our website, badslant.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bad Slant. Again, we are not, I posted this real quick before we started the record. We're not twitching tonight. We're not on the YouTube for this iteration of the show. We are we're putting together a stopgap type of episode, but we will post the show in your traditional podcast mediums: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Pandora, CastBox, you name it, we got it. You can find the show there, obviously. And as always, support your boys by shopping through our link on the website, badslant.com/support. You can get all your goods and services, which I know is very important right now because you're not hauling your ass out there and making that mistake that Ice does on a week-to-week basis going to Costco. You can buy all your crap on Amazon, and God willing, it's in stock. But we have to highlight one of our affiliates, more specifically, bang the link to Target. It's going to be on the top of our support page. I won't get into all of, yeah, bang it hard. We don't... That's a weird banging sound you're making there. I'm not going to get too far into detail, but it would really behoove us to try to get some action on our Target affiliate links. It would help us immensely, and allow us to keep that relationship going forward. So if you can, I know you got a lot of time. If you're listening to this show, you got a lot of time at home where you think about the next load of crap that you're going to buy. But go for it.
And we know you need stuff. Like, yeah, we know you need stuff. I mean, we're not even prescribing a specific product this week. We're just saying, if you need anything, you know, I know you're going to Amazon, but try taking out Target. I mean, I think if there's any cleaning supplies or anything you need around the house and you can get it through Target at the same cost as any other online vendor, then, you know, support your boys.
Yes, and again, get the crap that you are going to buy anyway. So, you know, it serves two masters. It helps us out at the same time. So, again, shop the Target link on our website, badslant.com/support. Ah! Okay, business out the way. It's been a long year this week, I think, was the popular meme or quote that seemed to pop up fairly regularly. But, man, it didn't feel like we hit critical mass last week. I mean, we were talking about the league getting canceled. Ice, you still with me? I lost your photo.
Yep, I'm still there, man.
Okay. Did you feel like we had hit critical mass like we've hit like seemingly in the last like day or so or a couple of days, Ice?
I've been skeptical about this whole thing because like there's days where I wake up and I'm like, we're fine, man. We're fine. We got plenty of food. There, like I go in and out of the house. I still hit up the stores. Things are still open. Like
I was at the gym on Saturday.
Fine, but what's that?
I was at the gym on Saturday.
They were open still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. No warning signs whatsoever. I still think they're open. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I mean, I got the notification early on that Orange Theory is closed, so they are suspending our account. So you know, so that's great because we pay monthly for that, and I had classes already registered for all of this month. So the fact that they're just putting a huge pause on that and then just moving it to the next month, deferring it down, I think that's cool. But yeah, I mean, for a while, I'm hearing the gyms are still open. I'm hearing yoga classes are still open. All the stores. So I'm like, no, man, we're good. But this past week was with all the news of Maryland getting the mandated lockdown and shutdown. And I'm like, ooh. Like,
they should just close Maryland, period. You know what I'm saying? They should just close Maryland, period. That would help a lot of people, not just involved with this whole coronavirus thing. Just, you know,
just don't let them leave Maryland, right?
Nobody in, nobody out. Like, we can keep track of you guys. It's fine.
Did they do anything similar to that in Virginia? I heard there was something yesterday, but I didn't actually see what came out of that.
I don't think I've gotten anything statewide or even like at the municipal level saying we need to start to hunker down and shelter in place. Like nothing like what they've said in California or New York, but I guess it's in the wind. If it's happening in Maryland, it's got to be at least something that's discussed for the state of Virginia.
Almost everyone in the area can relate is schools being shut down. Oh man. I think that's had the biggest impact. I mean, all the other stuff, restaurants, malls, like I think we're fine and we're prepared for that stuff. But having kids in the house while you're trying to get work done is nearly impossible.
Can I tell you when we were doing our little test in the afternoon and I heard everything going on in your household, everything going on in Jack's household. It sounded like I called into 1992 on Crenshaw Boulevard in LA and it's a full blown riot. Like there's just bricks being thrown through windows. Like it was just madness. And I didn't say a word the entire time. I felt like because I was so awestruck and just in awe of everything that was happening. And I think I downplayed it, but at least going into the whole thing, but like hearing that, I'm like, okay, you guys need like a full month off of work and a trip to the Yankee Cranky, whatever you need to decompress after all this, you got it. Like I will try to make that happen for you.
I was wondering if you heard all of that because I was like, oh my God, I can hear everything both on my end and Jackson. And I'm like, yep, that sounds about right. I mean, we consolidated, and we went with the wifey's sister, and the in-laws came up to lend a hand just so we can get some work done. I had some important meetings this week. And God bless them, man. A huge shout out to the in-laws too. They saved my life. There would be no way in hell I could have pulled off some of these meetings and prepping for them if they didn't come up. So it's just like, I just feel like if this is gonna go on, I mean, not everyone has the luxury of having in-laws around, and I think there's got to get to a point where we just have to globally and mutually agree that maybe there's not going to be work done. I mean, it sucks, but I mean, otherwise it's like, because right now with everything going on, I have to work early in the morning. I have to work scattered throughout the days with mini breaks because of the kids. And then I have to work at night. So like, I used to be a workaholic, but now it's like, and I'm a workaholic with raising kids full time and losing sleep and rest and not eating healthy and can't even get to the gym to decompress. Oh my God, man, this time sucks. It's horrible.
Yeah. So if you see a sign that is bright yellow, like along 123, that says like Asian massage, and it's like, oh, I remember what John said.
Right over.
Yeah, or just write down the number and shoot it over to me, and I'll see what I can do. And you can tag Jack in or something. I don't know.
Just 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's exactly. They have strong hands. But God bless you, boys. It's a lot to deal with. Are you doing? I know that Hollywood is trying to do their part to distract your kids, but you guys were like, you were going through homework and doing the whole speak and spell bit. Like, are you trying to educate your kids, or are you just going to throw them in front of the TV and let them watch Frozen 2?
Yeah, we haven't resorted to TV yet. I think we use TV at times. I think everyone has to, but just given that this is the first week, I think we're trying hard to be stronger than them. And we're
strong like bull.
No. Yeah. And then we're like, we're going to continue to do activities and crafts and read. Dude, there's some cool stuff on YouTube now. Some of these people are,
yes, it's called YouTube.
Yeah. So like, in addition to all the crazy content that was already up there, but now celebrities and these famous people are taking time to produce new content just for kids. Like today, I think I saw a video of
tip of your tongue.
Hopper from Stranger Things. He's reading kid stories on YouTube now. He has a channel where he just read kid stories.
Man, that may sound like a nice distraction, but he's trying to get the clout, man. He's trying to get those followers up. He's got no jobs going.
I hear like Josh Gad from Frozen, Olaf. He's doing it too. Mm. We got some people behind the scenes of like Sesame Street, and all these animators are coming out and doing their own series. I was telling Lily, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if after all this stuff kind of faded out and people got back to their normal lives, people might be like, they may have found new success just not doing their other jobs and doing content for YouTube.
It's free money, man.
A crap load of, yeah, it's good money too. So they're just like, why am I gonna go through my normal like daily grind? I could just stay home and make content, and people love it and people watch it.
You know what's gonna happen? Like, it's this whole thing is awful. Like, it's a terrible situation for everybody, some worse than others. But what's going to come out of this is that everyone's going to realize I could be doing exactly what I was doing before, but from the comfort of my home. And it's going to turn the entire economy on its goddamn ear. And we're not going to know what the hell's like what to make of it when we get back on the roads and like and people have settled into this whole telework society, or Josh Gad can just make crazy YouTube videos and doesn't have to keep making Frozen movies. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's totally going to turn this dynamic of having to like slay the beast 40 hours a week on the roads and out there going through traffic, and it'll make this whole telework thing real attractive and real. Real, for lack of a better term. Like, it's been something that for some damn reason the federal government was trying to de-emphasize it, saying that people were taking advantage of it, but now it's going to be like a real illustration to people because they have to actually embrace this thing and they find that it's actually viable.
Yeah, and then I wonder Because if people were to begin to adopt just working from home, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, from a business standpoint, way lower, you know, they're lowering their overhead. They don't have to worry about providing this, you know, paying this massive lease just to have all the space for people. If people truly get work done from home, you know, it's like, why bother? And if they're truly productive, that changes a lot, you know. But the one big thing that it does take away is that social aspect, that social interaction, because I think that's what builds, like, you know, that's all the whole team building, camaraderie, all that stuff, and the chemistry between you and your colleagues. And I think that's the part that I feel like lose in all of this.
Yeah, I've lost that years ago, so it's fine. I could do without it. Trust me.
You know what's funny? Tomorrow, I believe the wifey, her employer, just to maintain, to try to hold on to whatever's left of that team chemistry stuff.
Oh God, I can feel
this
coming.
They're making everyone do a lunch live, like, team streaming thing.
So sign on to Zoom at 12 o'clock and we'll make sure that you're engaged with the rest of the squad.
Yeah, so everyone is expected to pack their lunch, sit in front of
Go logistics
and eat together and talk through their computers, which is so weird, man.
It's so bizarre. This whole thing is going to give rise to all these crazy horseshit ideas that seem really good in an isolated environment, but once you actually put it out into the open, it's just going to die a miserable death. So you got to let these things work themselves out. And sure. I think your wife, unfortunately, will be the guinea pig for.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how that goes.
One awful idea after the other. All right. So no. No Frozen 2 for the girls just yet. Have you have you partaken in anything that's been released? I know that you threw a link to the Universal flicks that were actually still in theaters.
That's actually the one. So no, short answer is no. I haven't had a chance. Like, I thought with all this time at home, I'm going to be able to stream a lot more and get. But I've just
no Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Not yet, but. When I saw the headlines that Universal Movies is going to begin to release the stuff that's in the theaters onto iTunes and other platforms like that, I thought that was smart and huge. Because there's movies like A Quiet Place and The Trolls that I had planned that when
Trolls
those movies
World
come
Tour.
Out, I was gonna take the kids to watch Trolls and I was gonna go watch A Quiet Place. Silencio, you know, so I was looking forward to that. So I was looking forward to that. And for $20, you know, it sounds steep initially, but when you break it down to the amount of people that's consuming the content and you can sit in your own home, you can have whatever beverages you want. It's actually not a bad deal, man, for $20.
It's like going to the movies, theoretically.
Yeah. And I believe you get 48 hours to watch the thing.
Wait, so, you get the movie 48 hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
That would be a huge... I'm in. Yes. Give me Silencio too.
They toss in the bonus movie.
Brilliant. Nobody's watching that anymore.
Yeah, but how cool is that, man? Like, you can rent it, you can watch it, and then there's certain movies, like when you go to the theater and you're just like, oh, that's so great. I can't wait to watch it again. Now you actually can. Like, within that $20 fee, you got 48 hours to watch the damn movie over and over and over and over. And that's a great deal, man. I wonder if this takes off and does really well, does this stick or is this temporary?
I think like the whole telework thing, it's forcing people that are resistant to these types of ideas to kind of confront them head on and see if there's any real value in it whatsoever. So I think for the movie studios and the theaters, they're getting a taste of this, they're getting it in a huge way where there are films that are being delayed on a massive scale, like Black Widow. I don't think they put a temporary or prospective date for that movie. Fast and Furious 9 got pushed to next year. So,
wow.
Yeah. So a full calendar year for that. So, I think when you have situations like this that are completely out of the norm, it forces businesses to completely rethink their entire way of operating, and they have to find other ways to stay relevant and stay afloat. So I think the whole streaming platform and the simultaneous release in the theater and then the release at home is something that a lot of other studios have bristled at. But I think if you have something that you feel like it's a 50-50 shot that it's actually going to hit in the theaters anyway, you may just go ahead and lean towards having a shorter window to have the movie pushed out into homes, or you may just do the whole simultaneous thing and see where the chips fall. So yeah, I think it's certainly going to grow legs from here, because I'm trying to think of something else that would fall in that category, but the Silencio movie we'll look at, like, or A Quiet Place 2. A good movie. It was a surprise hit in its own right. I don't know how, I can't remember when the first one came out, but it was the demand for a sequel so big that you think it's going to be a massive blockbuster hit right out of the gate? I would say it's pretty marginal.
I think so. I mean, for the people that seen the first one, yeah. I mean, especially, I think the, so what I was looking forward to the most is because I felt, so I watched the first one in theaters and I felt like it was just an amazing experience, because very rarely have you ever been to a theater where the entire flick in a huge crowd setting is like pin drop silence. So the movie, all the suspense in the movie is heightened because you're on the edge of your seats and everyone is quiet. And when there's like one of those scenes that just makes you jump, everyone jumps at the same time because it's so freaking quiet.
Okay.
And I felt like it was such a unique viewing experience that you never get to experience anything like that. So it was so unique, and I felt like that was part of what made that movie so great.
Okay. Well, I didn't necessarily want to get into a debate about the film itself, because I haven't seen the first one, so I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I knew there was a sleeper hit. I didn't know it was an experiential type of film where you had to be in the audience and get the full effect. So for those type of movies, those tentpole type of films where you have to see the movie in a certain environment to really appreciate it, like in its grandeur, okay, that makes perfect sense. But if you're making a rom-com, are you going to trot that thing out in 2000 theaters, or are you going to run it out on demand and see what happens and let it catch fire that way?
It's going to work well for certain movies and others not so well, because I feel like for a movie like that, I feel like, you know, realistically, they probably would have made a lot more money in theaters for charging the ticket sales that they do and the concession. In general, that's going to be better for business for a movie like that to go into theaters than coming to your house for $20, right?
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I think, but at the same time, movies like, what was that, Bird Box, that debuted on Netflix streaming only, and that was massive. Yeah. I mean, it could have been massive because it was free, and everyone who had a Netflix account watched it. So maybe that's the key difference, is it's not charging $20 to watch Bird Box. But I don't know, man. It's interesting, because the numbers on Bird Box was just gigantic, you know?
You imagine if they did a Bird Box too and dropped it like during this whole quarantine situation. My God.
No. Oh my God. If they somehow had that secretly in production, this would be the time to do it. It would be so awesome.
Like we talk about, people say the phrase breaking the internet. That would literally break the internet, because everyone's teleworking and they'd be trying to watch stupid Bird Box too at the same damn time. You got to have those movies in your back pocket. I feel like they should have, like, that when they did the first one, they should have had the second one just in case. And they can film it in, like, the I don't know.
You know they're doing it. It was such a hit. You know they had to do it. They're secretly working on that.
Except if they try to do it now, they couldn't have more than 10 people around doing it. So, damn shame. All right. So we have plenty of Hollywood distractions that were, or some that are coming, some that are going. I mean, it's a bummer.
Oh, even the Friends. I saw that yesterday or something.
Did that get killed too?
Yeah, that's well, it's definitely delayed. So production is delayed, but they're still hoping that even with the delay, somehow they can still hit their scheduled May release. I still don't know how they're gonna pull that off.
It ain't gonna happen, bro. If any of like the weird like tinfoil hat rumors on the internet are accurate, like nothing's happening for a long ass time. So Rachel can put the bob haircut back in the drawer and just wait a few months. Dude, I'm watching so much Friends in the last like 2.5 weeks. Like,
She's still hot.
There are seasons, man. Oh boy, 3 and 4, where she's just like she is like the 92 Duke Blue Devils. She is just an unstoppable juggernaut. It's crazy. But yeah, I've seen like since they took it off Netflix, like they haven't stopped showing it on cable. Like it's there. So if you feel like, oh, like I can't believe they took it off, it still lives and exists on Nickelodeon. Like it hasn't gone anywhere. Like you just have to look for it in the places where it usually was. So I would say if you're missing out on Friends, dive into like a showing at like, I don't know, 11:30 in the morning tomorrow, then see if you're really missing it the way that you think you are. Oh man. All right. If there's anything that I wish could get delayed, it's the number of athletes that are coming out on like an hour to hour basis with their confirmed positive tests.
What is this all about, man?
Oh my God. Like KD hasn't stepped foot on a basketball court in, I don't know, a calendar year. And he's got the virus. Like how it like, and they did like this drive through testing situation for the Lakers, which again, tests are scarce to come by right now, but for some damn reason, everybody, including the ball boy, got a shot at.
They got money. That's why, man.
I guess, yeah. The president confirmed that. That's your ticket. I mean, it shouldn't be surprising that we're getting more and more cases, but like the ones that are more and more well known are the ones that are kind of resonating the most, and that's what led to everything being canceled. So, are you still getting freaked out every time you hear about a new athlete or somebody relatively famous catching a case?
Yeah, I mean, like every time I hear it, I'm just like, what? But then I'm always like, what does it mean? Like, what does all this really mean? Cause like, yeah, KD was shocking. Idris Elba was shocking. Tom Hanks.
I forgot about Idris Elba.
Yeah. Tom Hanks and his wife was shocking. And I'm just like, you know, but what does it really mean?
Shout out to Tom Hanks, though. Like, he got the good. Him and Rita are out. They're out.
I mean, they did the smart thing. And once they got tested positive, they just hit out and was just chilling. And well, they waited their time and they were good.
They were already gone, though. They were in Australia. So they were out. So it wasn't like they really needed to do very much to get themselves in a sequestered environment. They kind of put themselves in an isolated situation to begin with.
Yeah, so it's always shocking to hear when people are tested positive for this stuff, but I never really know what it really means because it's like, I don't know. It's like, because like, just like today, I felt like there was some announcement, like the several members of the 76ers got tested positive for it. I mean, like what are these people doing? Like, I don't know. It's like, for all I know, I could be tested positive for it, but just I don't have the money to go or at the time or even the interest in going to get tested. I mean, I don't know.
But like, I mean, like,
could we all be testing positive for this stuff?
Well, everyone that's come out in the last couple of days, the same theme has come out. They're all asymptomatic. They're not showing any signs of actually being sick. They're just they're just positive for the test and the virus. But there's nothing else that would lead you to believe that they are out there and potentially infecting other people.
That was so funny, man. There was a photo I saw this yesterday or this morning or something of Darius Geis on Twitter with like a bunch of chicks just surrounding him, and I'm like, of course this guy, man. Like, why are you supposed to be home quarantined? He's still out like just getting his stuff wet by like, you know, eight chicks around him.
He's
like,
getting
come on,
his
man.
Swerve on, and as he noted in the tweet, 10 is the CDC prescribed number to stay under. So as long as we're there, he's good. As long as he's there, we're good.
Just there's several people that just don't care, man. So I don't know if that's the same case with all these celebrities and ballers that are out there testing positive. They're like, I don't care, man. I'm gonna still go out and live my life, and whatever happens. I'm not old. And then next thing you know, you're testing positive for it. So I don't know. I don't know what any of this stuff means. It's like testing positive for coronavirus. Yeah, it's deadly. I know that. But is it as serious as like if they tested positive for like cancer or something, you know, then you'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. This is the weirdest instance of athletes testing positive where we really don't give a shit.
It's like you want to be like, you want to have empathy for them. But then I don't know, man. Like,
Yeah, anytime someone who's in the NBA tests positive, you think, oh, shit, here we go. Someone's getting suspended for a year and a half. Oh, no, this guy's going to walk it off, and he'll be okay because he has access to millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. It's a weird situation. I mean, at this rate, the only positive you can get out of it is that, one, they'll probably be healthy, and two, they'll get the dummies like us and, you know, the larger sporting public to actually take this shit seriously. So if anything, it just kind of raises the awareness side of things. And I mean, you can't really escape this as it is, but nobody really gave a damn until Rudy Gobert canceled the NBA season.
I know. That's nuts, man.
You just need one patient zero to actually take it home. My God.
I can't remember. Was it you or Jack that posted the link to the Big Three news?
I threw that out there.
That's funny, man. Like, it just sounds like Big Three is becoming like a reality show.
Yeah, I think they know. They're reading into this in a very nuanced way, and they're putting this thing together really quick, it seems like. They're seeing this immense void in the sporting universe where there's nothing to watch, and we'll get to the one thing that is going to be available to watch here in a second. But there's nothing going on in a live medium right now, so they recognize that if they play their cards right, if they take all the necessary precautions, if they self-isolate every single member of their roster and put them in this petri dish in a five-story mansion in Hollywood. they could pull off this horseshit idea of having these washed-up NBA has-beens play a tournament just, you know, to keep people interested. And God bless them, I think they have a shot of making it work.
Dude, at this point,
it's appointment TV.
I think everybody in the world would tune in because there's nothing else on TV.
I mean, we say that. I mean, this is a goofy enough idea where this could actually work. There's enough intrigue with the reality show aspect of it where they're filming them outside of the games they play on the court and then actually having the games as well. It's its own self-contained like MCU type basketball thing. Like it could actually work.
And it's so funny because it was like one of the things I read in that article was like, if they were to leave the quarantine like facilities, they're booted off. That's so funny. If they left the house, they're just like, oh, no more basketball for you. See ya.
It's like you're on Survivor, but you decide I'm just gonna go for a swim and leave. Like it's the weirdest premise. I mean, God bless them. I think if they have an opportunity to, well, I guess it's more about like teaching them a lesson. Like if you break self isolation or if you break the quarantine, you're out. So I mean that's a lesson to everybody else in society. You break quarantine, you'll die. So I think if that's the message they're trying to convey, God bless them. I think they're doing a lot of positives there.
Yeah, good for Cube though, because I mean, Big Three is already something that I feel like started growing legs on its own, and there's a lot of interest because these are like legacy superstars. So I think the fact that he's trying to keep this going, he's not. I mean, for the little momentum and the traction that he's building, he's not just gonna say coronavirus, we're just gonna call it a year and we'll pick back up next year. I love that he's still trying to get creative and make it work. So. Yeah, kudos to him, man.
I'm trying to think of the phrase. It's like necessity is the godfather to ingenuity. I don't know.
Dude, in the past week, I think I've been so intrigued watching like Marvel Racing.
Let me clarify. It sounded like Marvel Racing, but you said marble.
Marble.
Like actual little marbles rolling down a track.
Yeah, have you seen that?
I did, unfortunately. Jesus Christ.
it's one of the most like entertaining, and like I got so like into it somehow. Like you're rooting for like one of the marbles, and then when the marble goes off track, you're just like, no, what are you doing? And then it comes back and you're like, holy crap, this is so intense.
We are in such a bad spot.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. You get so easily pulled into things that you weren't that into before. It's just like, you know.
No one should be interested in marble racing. I think we need to make that perfectly clear. Unless there are sponsors, unless there are teams, unless somebody has like a loaded marble, I really think that we're hitting like the bottom of the barrel now. We could be bottoming out.
Yeah. So I need to ask, I mean, speaking of things that people aren't into, WrestleMania, right?
People are into or are not into? I want to make sure that came off accurately.
So, I am. You know, I've been into wrestling since I was a kid, and I
went to WrestleMania with me, you son of a bitch.
I wouldn't say I'm on your level, but I always tune in for the big pay per views. But there's a lot of people out there that are like, wrestling's fake and this and that. But anyways,
I'm not the guy who's going to say that it's not. It's scripted, but there are parts of it that are the things you can't fake. But go on.
So I was so sure this year with everything going on, they were just going to call it. Like, it's not going to happen or postpone it, just like with the Masters and all that stuff. Like, it's such a huge event that, like, if you don't do it right, it's not one of those things where you could just ruin, and because it's WrestleMania, it's like the Super Bowl of wrestling. It's the biggest event for the sport, and I was surprised that they're still going on. They're still doing it.
I am to a degree, but I'll say this: the UFC dug their heels in with their event in Brazil, and they eventually they caved in some respects, where they decided to clear out the arena and just do like a closed arena show. Which I think they did on the heels of WWE having their own closed arena show. So they saw I think they saw some value in that. I don't think the show that the UFC did very well. I think they had somewhere south of like 700,000 viewers, which isn't terrible. It isn't the worst, but it's not the best either, especially for a UFC event that had a pretty good main event card in it. I'm surprised that they would take an event that is essentially built on grandeur. Like, WrestleMania isn't necessarily about watching the best wrestling in the world. It's about watching the craziest spectacle in professional wrestling in the world. Right. Like, it doesn't get bigger than this. And they have Hollywood involved. They have spectacular set build outs, like fireworks that will put the 4th of July to shame. Like, it's a sight to behold. And then to pivot and say, well, because of this entire fiasco with the coronavirus, we're going to put it in a closet. It's basically a technical college in Orlando, Florida, and going from Raymond James Stadium, which houses the home of Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to the place where Bailey and Sasha Banks lifted weights. Like, it's a huge drop off. But I think they've caught enough lightning in a bottle, like enough interest from having these empty arena shows, with SmackDown being the first one, and then Raw like 3 days later. There's enough entertainment value there, and there's enough notoriety to say that we're the only game in town. That I think they saw that, you know, we could really get some juice out of this. We can get some more subscriptions to the WWE Network, which for now is the only spot that you could actually watch this thing. It could pay off in just having everybody's attention sucked into this one thing, which customarily would only be one night on the first weekend in April. This year, it's going to be two nights in the first weekend in April. And for some damn reason, they thought having Rob Gronkowski, former New England Patriot Rob Gronkowski, host this thing would... I don't think they think he's going to accelerate or host the product in a meaningful way, but just having his name attached to it just will suck in a few more eyeballs. So I think they just like the idea of being the only game in town. And you know what? There were some rumors about them potentially selling some broadcasting rights off to Fox because they have a relationship with Fox, or maybe with the USA Network because they have Raw on USA. That would have been a crazy way to make some more money off of this, because I think they were going to lose about $20 million on not having an actual event. So certainly selling off some of the broadcasting rights and the advertising would have filled the void a little bit, or made up for some of that. I think at the end of the day, the fact that the XFL got canceled, everything else is canceled, like, there's really nothing else that you could watch. Like, it really makes it so that you're giving Vince McMahon what he wants, which is being the only one that everyone's talking about and everyone's watching.
Yeah. So do you know any details about how they're splitting it into 2 days?
There's more rumors that are coming out from this now. But what we were told initially was that they were just going to cancel the stadium date and put everything inside their performance center, which, again, It's their training facility. It's where they learn them new wrestlers and learn them up real good, and they go lift weights there. Like they do, like they train, they do all that. Now they're actually able to like have seats in there. And to preface this, they actually had a crowd in there the Wednesday before everything went to shit to do an episode of NXT. And so they had an audience there, and they could do production. They had screens, like they had lights, like it looks like a WWE show. But now they're going to clear out all the fans to stay in line with the CDC guidelines. And the Performance Center in Orlando is going to be like the hub, the main spot for this. But now there's rumors that they're going to start taking some of the matches, which I think it's like 8 or 9 matches at this point, and then sprinkle them out into different locations. So you might have something taking place in a back lot in Hollywood, or at their WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, like in a parking lot. Like, I don't know, but it's in the wind. Like, all these ideas are out there, and it's all with the idea of staying in line with these CDC guidelines, but also trying to spice things up a little bit, because they used to do crazy ideas and crazy matches in different locations, and this kind of just steers right into that, where, you know, they're going atypical. They want to switch the scene up a little bit, and they want to make it something that is, you know, not just your standard wrestling card. They're going to try to make this an entertainment vehicle. So that's an intriguing wrinkle to it. I think today they set out the match card. So essentially they're going to have 2 main events, like a Saturday main event and a Sunday main event, which actually isn't unheard of. I'm not going to go too far into it, but there's a Japanese promotion that did a 2-night equivalent of WrestleMania on their own earlier in January. So do with that information what you will. I doubt that anyone will Google what that event was, but there's precedent for it. So I think WWE saw that there was a runway to actually make that work. So, you know, they're taking the ball and they're running with it.
Crazy, man.
I don't know how Gronk helps
anything. Trust me, I'm going to watch it still. Like, right now I'm desperate to find something that I'm semi interested in and watching. Like, so
the fact that. Did you watch the UFC thing at all?
No, not at all.
All right, that's one down.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know. One, it's late. The main event is always late. And two, it's I don't know. It's a wasn't it a pay per view? No, I have to pay to watch that one?
No, it was on ESPN.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
I have to pay for it.
Evidently, they did not advertise it well enough for you.
Yeah, no. Did you watch it?
I did.
Was it weird?
A little odd, but I've come around to the notion that MMA fans are awful. So not having them there doing their terrible, awful shtick was actually kind of a plus for me.
And it was the same bit. Like, they come out with all the music and they walk down, and
they did the whole walkout thing, man. It was like they weren't necessarily playing to the crowd, but they were just like, you know, they did the same routine. Like, you know, it was very much them trying to stay as normal as possible, but yeah, you know, how normal could it feel?
The quietest match in the world.
Yeah, it looked like I don't know if have you watched like the earliest, like, so when you go to a UFC fight, they have the prelims starting about 7 hours before the actual main card starts. It's a day-long endeavor. If you've ever seen those first ones, though, they're the saddest sight you've ever seen. And I don't want to say this card was exactly that, but it was very close to that, where like nobody has showed up and no one's expecting them to show up. They're there to fight because they were told to fight, and that's it.
Oh. Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting. And I don't know, it's weird, you know. A lot of this stuff, a lot of these sports are people are fueled by the audience and the noise and the crowd and all that stuff, and to take all that away, I feel like it loses a lot. Even the viewing experience, I feel like it loses a lot. But I don't know. I guess at some point people are just desperate for anything, so
yes,
they'll take a quiet fight versus nothing.
Yeah, I'll say this. So WWE was the first one. I'm trying to figure the timeline and all this. WWE did SmackDown Live without an audience, and there were segments of it which I thought were a complete home run. They just had enough weirdos that were good enough as performers in front of an empty stage that they could pull it off. They had John Cena and Bray Wyatt, like guys who are just so good at what they do. They could do it in a broom closet and it would still just kill. So they started the bit, and then UFC came the next night, and it was an entertaining card, regardless of the fact that it didn't have.
I do remember. I saw that opening bit with like Triple H coming on, doing the little intro, and that, then after that, it goes right into John Cena coming down.
Yes, that was actually the closing segment of the show. Yeah, so he actually opened the show. So the great part about that whole thing was Triple H was only supposed to be the opener for the show. Like he's the guy who's like the man behind the Performance Center in WWE. He was only supposed to open the show. He was supposed to do a quick 5 minutes on commentary and say la vie. And for anyone who doesn't know, he's the son-in-law for Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and he's running a lot of the business. So he does the show. He does the start of the show. He does the commentary, and then everyone is on social media is so over the moon for like the way that he was just tearing apart his broadcast colleague, and he was just like crazy hilarious. They see this happen, and they make a change on the fly and say, well, you got to fill the rest of these 2 hours, and you're going to stay on the show the rest of the way. And they pivot, and it works. And like he's doing all kinds of crazy shtick. Like he ends up like adjusting his makeup. He ends up grabbing one of the cameras and pretending to be one of the cameramen. Like he just killed the entire show. And it wasn't supposed to be that way, but WWE has a way of adapting in terribly awful situations and making lemons out of lemonade.
Nice.
I don't know where I was going with that story, but
I saw that clip, and yes. I was like, oh, that was good.
The Cena promo was great. Bray Wyatt again, he might be a genius in his own right. And then you had the UFC event take place the following night, and then Raw sucked. I don't know if they just they ran out of gas, or the fact that they have to do 3 hours, but Raw was awful. but then AEW, which is the competing company, like they did a show I guess it was Wednesday night, and it was an empty arena show, and it was fun in its own right in that they had some of the other wrestlers sitting ringside, and at one point,
no way.
And they had a couple of the guys crack open a bottle of wine, and they were gambling on the matches. So I didn't know what the hell was going on, but you saw cash exchanging hands, like it was a cool interactive bit. So maybe
I like that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe they'll have like a few people sprinkled into the audience at WrestleMania. Who knows? They'll tweak this thing on the fly and they'll put their best foot forward. I think.
I mean, I'm assuming the facilities are big enough that they have that they can maintain that 6 feet rule and all that stuff.
Yeah, they got plenty of seats in there, so yeah. I think they will tweak it and make it a watchable product. I don't know if it's going to be the home run that we're all thinking that that I think it could be. I think for the most part, everyone seeing this from the outside thinks it's a god awful idea. And you know, credit to him. A lot of this does sound very bizarre to see people like pretend like they're playing to an audience when there's no audience there. So, and they're doing goofy wrestling stick. Like there's a guy in a mask. Like why is he wearing a mask when there's no one around to watch him? Like it's none of this makes any damn sense. But I think it'll kill a solid Saturday and Sunday for a lot of folks. And you know, it we're just trying to kill time right now. We're just trying to give people something to take their minds off everything else that's happening outside their homes.
Cool. I mean, I guess I have one last WrestleMania question.
Please.
Before we move on. But are they still doing the whole Hall of Fame and all that stuff? I know typically that happens that weekend.
I think they are going to, the rumor now is that they're going to try to take the Hall of Fame ceremony and move it to their summer event, which is SummerSlam. That's like a solid, I don't know, 3-4 months away from here, from where we are right now in the year. It makes more sense because you can't really, like, the Hall of Fame has become kind of synonymous with having crowd interaction and people there to celebrate them.
Exactly. I feel like that's a hard one to pull off with an empty auditorium, you know?
Yeah, you can't pause for effect or applause without an audience, so... I think that's probably a good call. I mean, again, it's weird to have a wrestling match with nobody there to to scream at you, to cheer for you, or yell at you.
This is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, you want people to be there and appreciate you and feeling the love and all that. So you can't really do that without people.
You couldn't have Seinfeld without a live studio audience.
Right.
So this is very much in that vein. So yeah, I think a lot of folks would have given the WWE like a pass if they decided they were just going to move this entire thing into the summer and just let this whole thing blow over. But I think, again, they see value in being the center of attention and giving people a distraction from everything else. So I'm probably in the minority, but I think having WrestleMania in this format is still going to be something that is worthwhile for a lot of people. Myself included.
Yeah. I mean, I'll definitely check it out. I'll tune in.
You want to come over?
I mean, just yeah. Why not? As long as I'm allowed to.
No, I'm saying you watch downstairs. I'll be upstairs. You got to maintain
social distancing.
I'm holding the line here. All right. Well, we'll see how that whole thing plays out. I'm intrigued. Obviously, I'm a mark. But you know, it's something else for us to keep our minds off of this horseshit. All right. Should we pivot to something that is almost entirely corona free?
What's that?
Should we pivot to something that's almost entirely coronavirus free?
Oh, so I know. What is that?
Yeah.
What's coronavirus free?
I said almost. So they canceled the Apple event. I mean, I'll let you speak to this, but there was supposed to be an Apple event in March this month. Yes.
Yes.
So they killed that. But there was just kind of a silent, unspoken rollout of news and products. Like, I'll let you speak to it. But I was told there were iPads and MacBooks and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my.
Always, yeah. So I think this was 2020 initially was a big year for Apple. I think, I mean, if anyone knows me, I'm a huge mark. I'm a huge fanboy.
No.
And this was supposed to be their year. They were, you know, it has that ring to it from a marketing standpoint. 2020, you know, you want to feel like you're doing something, you know, revolutionary in 2020. So
it's the best sounding year, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So we felt like this was the year that if there was anything that they were kind of working on that was kind of cool or, you know, saving, this is the year to roll it out. So what they wanted to do was do a year full of really great products starting as early as March. Right after their annual earnings call with all their stakeholders and investors and all that. So that's where they talk about how they're performing as of last year. But unfortunately, with all the coronavirus in China, and that's where they get a lot of their products manufactured and all that. So it wasn't a really great call. So then, you know, their stocks took a huge hit. And then from there, that was supposed to transition into the March event. So we're in March. And with all the big events and conferences and keynotes being canceled, I just assumed they weren't going to do anything. And lo and behold, they decided to say, screw it. Screw all the events. We're just going to drop new products, like, without any huge fanfare or anything.
No,
they just dropped it on their website. And, yeah, whoopla. And I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that. And so once I saw the products that they released, it was, you know, some of it were kind of little minor refreshes, like they did their the Mac Mini updates. They secretly released some updated Beats, the wired Beats headphones. They did a small MacBook Air update. They but their biggest update that
What's
they
your big
did
daddy?
Was to the iPad Pro. It's pretty impressive what they've done, and so they've added added LiDAR. LiDAR is like some crazy sensor that, I mean, we there's not a lot of use in LiDAR right now in tablets, but I think they're thinking ahead and things you can do with it. I mean, I'm not that geeked out to know exactly what the potentials are, but it has a lot to do with like AR, that artificial reality, that just the idea of throwing light onto objects and it's almost like 3D sensors, and then you can like read things in the room and detect where everything is, so there's better spatial recognition. So when you are creating artificial elements in this real space looking through your tablet, you can do some really cool stuff. So I think it opens a lot of opportunities for developers and app creators and concepts and all that stuff. But overall, it's a smarter, crazier iPad that has a lot of the same design of the previous generation, which I feel like is probably the best design that they ever had for an iPad. But the keyboard, that's the part that I was like, you know, you've seen a lot of these Bluetooth keyboards that attach, that pairs with tablets, and, you know, it just allows you to use like the keyboard functionality with your tablets. This is probably one of the coolest Bluetooth keyboards ever to pair with these tablets, where it's backlit just like your normal laptop. It has a trackpad like your normal laptop. It has like all that same the way that it feels, that scissor mechanism when you're typing.
Oh, now I'm interested.
So it's what they're trying to do is make this iPad basically a tablet. Laptop.
Yeah.
It's like it's a touchscreen laptop that has, you know, you can use the pencil so you can write on the screen. You can use your fingers to touch the screen. But then at the same time, you can still use a trackpad. Your keyboard is all backlit. It's fast as hell. It has all the storage. It's nuts, man. And it's all in this little tiny form factor. And it shows you that where we're headed in the future. And it's, you know, and the keyboard isn't like what all these other tablet keyboards are. And it's just like a little flip out thing. This one actually has like some like strong magnets to hold it up, and it actually stands up almost like, it makes it look like it's like a little mini iMac. The way that it holds the tablet up, so it's really cool, man. I'm impressed just for something that was like quietly dropped. That this was definitely should have been a product that they really sold, like oversold on a keynote presentation, but unfortunately with everything going on, they just decided, what the hell, let's just drop it. And it's cool, man. It's a great product.
Okay, so when can I get the new iPad with the Gaydar and the fancy keyboard? Because I think I need that very soon to replace my MacBook Air.
Yeah, they claim that you can order right now. You can't. All their stores are shut down right now, so you can't go to a physical Apple store and pick it up or any of these brick and mortar stores. But they claim that if you place your order, you can get next day delivery on these iPads. So they are somehow built. So they're already ready to go. Today. And the keyboard, I believe, is coming a bit later. I believe they're looking at like a May release for that.
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, so you can get the iPad today. You just can't get the keyboard, that magic keyboard.
I'm gonna wait until the keyboard's ready.
The keyboard is pretty damn cool, man.
You sold me on the keyboard.
I wasn't expecting that the iPad was ready like tomorrow. You can get next day delivery.
I'm sold on the keyboard and the Gaydar. All right. Well, I'm sad we don't get to like belabor this and like pour over every single detail of this without having a full on Apple event, but I'm excited at the prospect of having a new thing with a new thing. So,
new thing with a new thing. That's always the way to go.
Huge selling point. And you know what? Maybe if you're telling me that May is the timeline, so perhaps I can start building a new website on that new iPad on GoDaddy.com, huh?
Yeah,
another Bad Slant affiliate. If you didn't know, GoDaddy is the world's largest and trusted domain registrar that empowers people like boobs, like me and Ice, with creative ideas to succeed online. Buying a domain name is easy with GoDaddy's domain search tool and domain name generator tools. You can find the perfect website address for your business. But, that's a big but, GoDaddy offers more than just a platform to build your website. GoDaddy offers everything you need to create an effective, memorable online presence. And if you already have one or more of their products, transferring your domain, website, or hosting to GoDaddy lets you consolidate your web presence with one provider, so it's easier to manage. For our Bad Slant listeners, visit our page at badslant.com/support and click on the GoDaddy banner today to find the perfect .com starting at just $4.99. Get going with GoDaddy. I have other endeavors outside of this podcast I feel would be most appropriate to launch through GoDaddy, and perhaps I'll be doing it on a brand new iPad come this summer. You never know how this whole corona thing is going to play out, so I think we're going to be scratching and clawing to try to build our own enterprises and kingdoms in the very near future. So
damn right. We're going to get a AJWrestling.com.
Oh, God. I think I spoke... This was like a year ago today that I was just screaming about wrestling, and I vowed after that to never talk about wrestling to that degree. But then, of course, Jack doesn't show up. You know, no fault of his own, but that just means the wrestling top goes up, talk goes to 11. So there's that. Well, I thank you, Ice. Troubling circumstances, but we make the best of these circumstances, and we still put out a product for our folks. Yeah.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. Laggy audio and choppy feeds notwithstanding. But you know, we'll see what happens next week. Maybe we'll have this in a Twitch format. Maybe we'll be back in person, or we'll just be here recording in different rooms. Who knows?
Maybe we'll have Jack on next week. Who knows?
Until then, Jack off. all right. Well, until then, we say thank you for tuning in. We hope you're staying safe and clean. Remember to count till 20 as you wash. And until we meet again up here, I'm already gone.
Toodaloo.